then like biology was like your high school sweetheart, but then you married astronomy.
But I still find biology attractive.
Oh boy.
But I'm not going to cheat on astronomy, don't worry.
Okay, good.
Hi, I'm Ryan. I'm a science teacher.
I'm Cheryl, and I slept through science.
Each episode, we'll tackle a science question you may have learned in school, but can't quite remember or fully explain.
And I'll take the risk of asking the dumb questions so that we can all understand the science we slept through.
The bell has rung. Let's get started.
Welcome to lesson 93. We are in our What is Science unit. And Cheryl, I'm really excited about the one that we get to do today.
I know you are, Ryan, because we're going to finally talk about astronomy.
Astronomy! I know we started with biology, which we talked about being my first love science, but astronomy is definitely my current favorite branch of science. I get to teach astronomy most of my day. In my free time, I watch videos about astronomy. I'm going to the total solar eclipse in 2024. It'll be my third total solar eclipse. I'm very much into astronomy. I think it is very cool.
So then like biology was like your high school sweetheart, but then you married astronomy?
Yes. That okay. Sounds right.
Great.
Sure.
Great.
But I still find biology attractive.
Oh boy.
But I'm not going to cheat on astronomy. Don't worry.
Okay. Good.
Or I feel like this analogy needs to stop.
Astronomy is your true love of science, but biology was your first love science. Is that good?
Sure. I don't know. This is breaking down and getting not great. So we should probably move on.
Sounds good.
Let's get into the pre-assessment then. Cheryl, what do you know about astronomy? What is it? What do astronomers do? What questions do you have about it?
I will say the bulk of what I know about astronomy is from our most recent unit about our deadly solar system, because I learned so much more than I already knew about astronomy. Like I probably more than doubled my knowledge about astronomy in that unit. So astronomy, I'm going to say, is the study of space and all things space, because I'm thinking it's like stars and planets and all those other things that are not stars and planets that we know are
For example?
There. Like an asteroid or a dwarf planet or, you know, suns, moons, hearts, stars, horseshoes.
Whatever.
I'm trying to think of the lucky charms.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew exactly where you were going with that. Yep,
thank you. And I think astronomers, well, just like all of these ones, I keep saying, well, then they study blank. And that's true, because scientists do study a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So they're studying these things. They're sending a lot of things out into space. A lot more things than I thought. Okay. I didn't know, like, oh, and there's this one that we sent to look at the other side of Saturn. And so I'm guessing there's like a lot of different things being sent out into space, both to take pictures, but probably more importantly, pictures are really important, but then like to take measurements or samples or things like that, just to gather data of what's going on out in space. And it's an exciting one because, like you've said, like scientists know so much more now than like in our lifetimes. Mm-hmm. And that's going to keep being true for the rest of our lifetimes. Mm-hmm. Like there's so much, I don't know. There's so much about our own planet that I know scientists are still learning all the time, but there's so much that we just have no idea about out in space. And so it's going to be fun to hear like, how much further can they send? Are they satellites? What are they? The things that they send out. Is that the classification for them as a satellite? Probe? Whatever they are. How much further out can they send things as technology gets better? And then are we going to see people live on Mars?
So do you know what's the farthest we've sent something out? Like how far away has something made it?
No. You know? I don't know.
Guess.
My initial thought is Pluto.
Okay.
Because that's the furthest that things go.
Yes. Nothing is beyond Pluto. You're completely correct. And that's the end of our lesson. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
But like, have we gone further than Pluto where then they've like been able to see like all of our planets and our sun and everything, like further out than that? I don't know. I didn't even know necessarily that they went as far as those further planets, but then you showed me some cool pictures where it was like, oh gosh, I guess they did. So yeah. Further than I can imagine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then let's also think, I want to find out about what you think about the scale or size, kind of an organization of the universe. We've talked about the sun and some planets and sort of Pluto and sort of the edge. If we were to just keep going, what would we run into next? Or what would we end up, what would be the next kind of structure or thing if we keep
beyond
zooming
a solar
out?
System?
Yeah.
I think the next thing is a galaxy. Is there something before? Because
okay.
The Milky Way is a galaxy.
Okay. All right.
So I don't know if there's something in between, like if we have some sort of like neighborhood that happens before.
Okay.
A galaxy of like a grouping of solar systems. There might be. Mm. Oh, there probably is because like, or just like how we see all those, oh my gosh, I forgot the word for what the Big Dipper is. Constellation. Like, if we're a part of a constellation, that's not like an official thing because we're just drawing pictures in the sky, right? Like, are scientists actually using that to group? I think they probably are, though. Yeah, if we're a part of like, is that our neighborhood? Is our little like constellation?
Okay. And what would be after that?
Then a galaxy? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
but what
know
would be after a galaxy?
Oh, then there's the universe?
Okay.
I don't know.
Anything beyond that?
Beyond the universe?
Yeah.
And
do you think
an alternate
there is?
Dimension? I don't know what
okay.
happens.
Okay. Okay.
Gosh.
Okay. And
I
how...
feel like in this way I know less about this than the biology ones you were telling me of the
oh,
different
interesting.
Levels.
The like... levels of organization.
Or
yeah.
I don't think that there are that many, but there probably are more than I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, another thing I really don't know though is we talk about all these things that they send into space and you've shown me like the shapes of some of them.
Okay.
Like there's like.
When I showed you like. Yeah. The satellites.
Arms in different directions. Yeah.
Yes. I like the motions. Those are good.
Yes. I don't really have a scale of how big those are. I can't picture like, can a human fit inside of them if they wanted to? I know there's not like humans on most of them. But like, or do they really vary in size based on what their purpose is?
Mm. Okay.
And then if they're taking samples on a planet, then are they sending those samples back to Earth? Or do they have things on the satellite that can like read the information about it? Like when they've discovered, or they think that there might be water in one of the moons of Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't know, things like, what are those things doing? If they're like gathering, are they gathering samples of things? Are they reading measurements? And then what are they doing with that? There's probably some really good computers inside of these things. Oh my gosh. As technology is going to like make these things so much cooler, because the advances are amazing. Wow.
Yes.
That's exciting.
It's very exciting. Let's go ahead and dive into the description of exactly what's going on, shall we?
Sounds great.
Yes. Astronomy is the study of space. That is accurate. Look at that. You know something. Killed it. And what's interesting, and it makes sense to me, but the things that you listed in describing things that could be in space, what those objects are, most of them were things that are what I would consider fairly local. They are things that are just in our solar system. You talked about planets and asteroids and moons and things like that. And you did mention the sun, which is true. And I think you said suns, but like
sure did
the stars. And then we talked about galaxies later and all of those things. And there's a huge part of astronomy that is outside of our solar system. As a matter of fact, I would argue that most of astronomy, if you want to talk about the things that make up the universe, most things are not in the solar system. Now, a lot of the things that we know a lot about are in the solar system because those are the things that are closest to us. So that makes sense. Also, we were just finishing a unit about our solar system, so it also makes sense that those are the things that you thought of first.
Yeah.
But there are all sorts of other things that we're not going to get into, like galaxies and black holes and quasars and gamma ray bursts and all sorts of other things that are beyond just things that happen in our solar system that are also very, very cool and also part of astronomy. Speaking of, you talked about different satellites and things like that and things that we have used to study the solar system and maybe beyond. And I asked you how far out you thought something may have been. The two farthest objects that we have sent from Earth are the Voyager 1 and 2 space probes. They were launched in 1977, a couple of months apart from each other. And they just kind of started heading out and are still heading out. They're still going, you know, a little over.
Do we still have a connection with them?
We have a limited connection with them. Yeah, they're running out of power, which means they're having trouble and they've had to do some reprogramming and some things like that. They're also way beyond Pluto at this point.
Dang.
And the delay in when they send a signal back to us, when they send it and when we receive it and vice versa, is many hours.
Wow.
And so there's a big, huge delay. So it's not like we can control it and tell it do this thing, because by the time it gets out there, it's moved on, at least somewhat speaking. And so it's not, they're not really transmitting a ton of data anymore, but depending on how you define the edge of the solar system, you can say that both of them have left our solar system. They've kind of gone beyond that, but they are not anywhere close to being in another solar system yet. Because the next closest star or star system, Alpha Centauri, is almost 4.5 light years away from us.
Ooh.
Which is very, very far. And they have not even traveled one light year yet.
Not close.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So the scale of things is quite big.
So do those things have cameras on them? Like, is that one of the pieces of data that they're transferring?
Yes. Well, not anymore. Their cameras are no longer functioning. But yes, they both had cameras. That was the very first time when those were launched. That was the first time we got images other than just like little fuzzy dots of some of the outer planets. Images of Uranus and Neptune were from, and those are the actually, that's the only time we have had any sort of satellite or probe visit those two planets.
Really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait, okay. So those probes were sending photos And they were sent out in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like before the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's before like digital cameras. But that mm-hmm. is a digital camera. Is that like the first digital camera or like one of the early digital cameras?
Question. I don't know exactly, but just because it's sending a digital signal does not necessarily mean that it is a digital camera.
But what's the other option is film.
Well, now I've got to look it up, Cheryl. Okay. According to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, which is part of NASA, the ISS, which is not the International Space Station like it is now, this was for the Imaging Science Subsystem.
Okay.
Consists of two television-type cameras, each with 8 filters in a commandable filter wheel mounted in front of Vidicons.
Okay, then. So is it similar to like the news in the 70s?
Yeah.
And as like how it's transmitting?
Yeah, I believe that's the case. Yeah.
Wow. That feels so high tech for the 70s.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. But yeah, so it's not taking pictures and then sending the digital pictures the way that we think of taking pictures. It would, you know, like a television camera would capture an image, and yes, you could record it onto film, but you could also just broadcast it out, right?
Yeah.
But it's not a digital camera in the sense of it has a CCD or like a chip that is absorbing the light.
Yeah.
And exactly the inner workings of how that works, I would have to do much more research to know. But
yeah, that's so interesting. That's really cool.
Yeah. One of the other things that you asked was the sizes of things, like how big are these different probes and things like that. I've got a few images to share with you, to show you.
Okay, I see Business Insider. Sizing up history's most famous science satellites. Science satellites sounds like a term I came up with. So, cool.
Yep, and there's a whole bunch of things. This is obviously not all of them. On the far left, you've got Sputnik 1 that Russia launched, the USSR. That was the very first satellite ever to be launched in orbit. It was about 2 feet, equivalent to about a beach ball. I don't know if you can see in the kind of the gray down there.
Oh my gosh, this is equivalent. The best thing ever, because when women are pregnant these days, a lot of them use an app that each week tells them what their baby is the size of, and they're like, your baby's the size of a grapefruit. So I like that these babies are also the size of different things. This is fantastic.
Yes, wonderful. The New Horizons probe, which is the one that went to Pluto, that one's about the size of a grand piano. Cassini, this is one of the ones that we talked about that was around Saturn. That was the one that took the picture from behind Saturn. That one's 22 feet long, about the size of a kayak.
Amazing.
The Hubble Space Telescope.
Okay, hold on.
Yes.
The New Star is the size of 1.5 limousines, because nothing else is the size of 1.5 limousines. You can round it to the nearest whatever.
Limousine? So
it's 1.5 limousines.
I don't know. I didn't come up with it.
That's so funny.
I'm glad you enjoy it. Yeah. Hubble Space Telescope is about the size of a school bus.
Wow.
Voyager 1, that's one of the ones that we talked about, Voyager 1 and 2, just a minute ago. So 57 feet long, about the semi-truck.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And we've got some other ones, some other actual space stations. If we come all the way up to the International Space Station that's in orbit around Earth, that one's about the size of a football field, an American football field, to clarify. Yeah.
And is that the one that people do live on?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. It's constantly crewed. There's always people there, and they can be up there for months too. Even we've had some people up there for over a year.
Wow. Not most.
of them who are up there, but we have had some. I would hate that
life so much.
You would. That
oh
would
my
be,
gosh, that sounds so yeah. boring. There'd be like a moment yep. where you'd be like, holy moly, I am in space. This is so cool. And then day like two and day three, you're like, oh boy. So we're still in this little thing. Like football field sounds big. I don't think it's going to feel very big up there.
No, and it's not like it's one big football field size room. Yeah. Either. It's much smaller than that. And most of that is the solar panels that take up most of that space.
Oh, goodness. So. Yeah. I'm good. Thank you for the offer, though.
Yeah, you're welcome, because I definitely offered to send you to space. Yeah. Yep. One of the other things you talked about with the satellites and probes and things is you were like, well, they take pictures and measurements and that thing's true. And then you talked about collecting samples and you seem to have some questions around how does that work and what happens and do they send them back or do they not or do what happens with that? And the reality is that it's a little bit of both depending on the thing.
Okay.
The Mars missions, a lot of the Mars rovers and things that have landed on Mars, a lot of those go there and they stay.
Okay.
They're taking samples and then they have onboard equipment that can do measurements and then send back those results to Earth and we analyze them here.
So they're like a little like Wall-E with like a test tube.
Yeah.
Like in their microscope, like doing their little experiments not quite and samples. Like that.
But sure, if that makes you feel
that's
better,
so
then yes.
Cute. Well, scientists okay. use microscopes and test tubes. We have covered this. And so
yes. That is true. Yep. And a lot of all satellites at this point have multiple instruments that can do all sorts of measurements on them.
That's so
but
cool.
We also have, and actually just this year in 2023, just what, a month ago, 2 months ago? Now I don't remember. I think it was in September. So that's more than two. But I think there was the DART mission that actually collided and kind of rammed into an asteroid, collected a sample, and then sent it back to Earth. It just arrived back on Earth, I think it was September of this year, 2023. And so we actually do have an actual sample from things out in space. Some of the astronauts who landed on the moon took samples of moon rocks and brought those back. One of our current Mars missions is setting up for a future Mars mission where it's collecting samples and then dropping them on the surface of Mars so that a future mission is designed to pick them up and retrieve them and bring them back to Earth. Those things do happen, not most of the time. That's a lot more complicated. It's more expensive to bring things back. And then how do you get them back to the Earth safely and things like that. But we have done it and are in the process of doing that for some things as well.
Wow, that's so interesting. Okay, but the one that collided with, you said an asteroid?
Yeah.
Was that on purpose?
Yeah.
So they were like aiming at an asteroid?
Yeah.
Wow. You'd have to be a good driver to do that. That's impressive.
Yes, and actually now that I'm remembering I'm mixing up two different asteroid ones. Because the DART one did run into an asteroid, but not to bring stuff back. That was to redirect it. It was, you'll love this, OSIRIS-REx is the one that collected the sample to send it back.
So that was like the NASA employee who like his 8-year-old kid came up with the name. He mm-hmm. won like a contest or something like that.
mm-hmm. Yep.
That's better than Pangea 2. Or no, I called it Pangea 2.
You called it Ultima. Pangea 2. I think Ultima. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. That's right. The car, the Pangea Ultima.
Yeah. Oh, here, I'll show you. Not that this picture is all that impressive. But here is the sample where it landed kind of in the desert when it came back.
Oh, that looks little container that's there. Very satisfying because that looks like very like new sci-fi-y.
Oh, it does,
like,
right?
It looks, yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, yeah. This is obviously not a picture, but this is what sort of the shape of it was, this weird little thing, and then that little arm that came down. So what happened is it basically came down, kind of bounced a little bit and blew air into it to like mix up dust and stuff, and then it collected into the bottom, and then it went and wow. then back. Yeah. So, and that one, that took several years to get there, get the sample, and then wow. bring it back. Yeah. And
that's
one of the,
so much dedication.
It is dedication. One of the guys that I used to work with, he's now at a different school, but he actually got to go to the launch of the rocket with
oh, cool.
the OSIRIS-REx. It was, yeah, it was cool. I was a little jealous.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Does that sort of answer your satellite questions, things like that?
Yes. Can I ask you another question?
Yes. Yes, you can.
Okay. So in these episodes, as we're talking about what these different scientists in these fields do, mm-hmm. we've kind of talked about like the purpose a little bit mm-hmm. behind some of them.
Yeah.
Like being able to like predict things or like know more about our history. So what would you say? I mean, obviously like knowing more about space, I could see just like, it's really interesting. Sure. Mm-hmm. It is really interesting. What would you say is like a purpose of studying astronomy, like when people do it as their profession and work for NASA and all that stuff, like what, or several purposes, I'm guessing.
Yeah. I think, and you kind of alluded to this already, for me personally, and for a lot of scientists in general, the purpose is to know more. Like that is a sufficient purpose for a lot of us. I don't need a practical world application for the thing yeah. for it to feel worthwhile to me personally. But I understand that for a lot of people, they do. And there are lots of things that we have learned that end up going into actual practical application. But generally, the people who are doing the research aren't the people who are then translating that knowledge to the practical application. Generally, that's a different set of people who find those things that researchers come up with and then find applications for them. It's just a very different set of skills and different ways of looking. And then you've got engineers to actually figure out how to make those things happen and all of that. So I think it's a tricky question. Although I would say specifically with astronomy, to try and give you an answer that I think you will feel better about, some of it is trying to find out, where did all this stuff come from? Like how did the Earth form? How did the solar system form? How did the galaxy form? Where did the universe come from? Really understanding things at a deep fundamental level, so that if we understand things at a deep fundamental level, then we can understand, again, what might happen in the future, because we can understand the way things are now and then extrapolate out with those patterns to the future. So that I think is part of it. Another big part of astronomy right now, and we've talked about this before in our last unit, is astrobiology, and looking at if we can find life somewhere else in the universe or in our solar system, that gives us more information about the life we have here on Earth. Are things similar? Are things different? Does it work the same way? Does it work differently? And as we learn those things, that gives us more insight into things that might be applicable to life here on Earth. Right now, technically, we have a sample size of one for how life would work. And yes, we've got a wide, you know, diversity of organisms and things like that, but we all have DNA. And we all use the same code to have that DNA. Like it's really one instance of life. And is this the only way that life works? And if so, that tells us something. That tells us that this is really unique. And the way that this happens, it has to work this way. So we maybe don't have all of these other ways we could look at things. We have to stay within the rules that we've already understood. But if life works a totally different way, then maybe there's a whole new way of looking at biology that we've never considered, because we've only ever seen it work this way. That could open up a whole new set of ways of looking at biology and medicine and all of that sort of stuff. But in order to know that, we have to look out into space.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, for me, those are some of the most obvious ones. But again, kind of like you said, I just think it's really cool and it's really interesting. I mean, like we're studying black holes in one of my astronomy classes right now. And I don't think there are any practical applications for learning about black holes. We're not going to one. There aren't any that are close by. We're not afraid of one doing something to the Earth. And even if it did, there'd be nothing we could do about it. But they're really cool. And so for me, that's reason enough.
I love that.
One final thing that I would like to leave you with is sort of, I asked you a little bit about the scale and like, if we started and we kind of zoomed out what all those things were and what the other structures would be. And I would like to give you sort of a parting thought of what is the scale of our universe. And I've got visuals to go along with this for you, Cheryl.
Good. I like visuals.
I know you do. Okay. So we're starting with the Earth. We've got the moon. You've got that stuff down. You understand that.
Yep.
As we zoom out, we've got sort of the inner solar system, which is
all the non-gas planets.
Yeah. We call those the terrestrial planets. Yeah. Okay. And we've got the asteroid belt in there too, and a dwarf planet and some things like that. And then if we zoom out a little bit more, we've got the outer solar system, and that's going to include the Jovian planets or the gas planets, plus the Kuiper belt and some other things that are kind of out there. And then we leave the solar system, and I'm leaving some details out, but these are sort of our closest stars. So if you want to talk about
our neighborhood.
Exactly.
Nice.
Right? And so the sun is sort of here in the middle, and then you've got all these other stars that are relatively close to us. We're talking within maybe 10 to 50 light years or so by the edge of this. So we've never been there. We're not anywhere close to being there.
Yeah.
But those are stars that are relatively close. Then we zoom out. And then, like you said, we've got our Milky Way galaxy. So lots and lots and lots of solar systems.
Where are we?
Billions. We are over here.
We're in the labeled section. Got it.
Yep, we're in the labeled section, exactly right. And this is not a photograph, just for the record, because we've never been outside of our solar system. So how could we be outside of our galaxy to take a picture of it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've wondered that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a photograph. It's based on data that we've actually taken. I think at one point I showed you the Gaia space telescope that had all of the pictures
that
and we zoomed
familiar.
In. All of them were little tiny dots, and those were all stars. I think I showed anyway.
Yeah.
So we've cataloged.
What's the brightness in the middle, though?
That is Sagittarius A star, where we have our supermassive black hole.
Ooh, I was going to ask if it was like a mega sun.
In one sense, yeah, it's a supermassive black hole that has the mass of about 4 million suns.
Ooh,
yeah,
that's a lot brighter than our sun.
Well, it's not bright because it's a black hole, but it's a lot more massive.
So was it bright in the picture?
Because there's a whole bunch of other stars around it.
Oh, okay.
So the supermassive black hole has a pretty strong gravity, and there's a bunch of stars, there's a high concentration of stars around it. And there's even stars that orbit the black hole.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Zooming out a little bit, we've got what we call the local group. And this is the local group of galaxies. So we've got the Milky Way down here on the right with a whole bunch of dwarf galaxies. And then Andromeda, which is our next nearest large galaxy, over here, sort of on the left, upper left there. And so this is a local group, which is another way of looking at it. And then we zoom out again, and we have the Laniakea supercluster. So now in this image, Cheryl, all those little dots that you're seeing, those are no longer stars. Those are galaxies. Every dot is a galaxy
now. Holy moly.
Mm-hmm.
Wait,
with
and what are the little
billions
blue
of stars.
There?
Yep, that's us. That's the local group is actually the blue text right there.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're in there somewhere. And then you zoom out, and then we've got some local superclusters. So the Virgo supercluster, this big thing here, this is our supercluster with which the Laniakea supercluster is a part of, but there's other superclusters of galaxies as well. And so there you can see there's what we call clusters, and we've got voids. So these blank areas that apparently have pretty much nothing in them at all. No stars, no galaxies. They're just sort of void.
Interesting.
Just a little crazy. And then if you zoom out enough, this is...
And it looks like TV static.
It looks like TV static, but we call that the observable universe. So the entire universe that we have the ability to observe. And we know that the actual universe is larger than the observable universe. But the reason that it's observable is it takes light time to travel, and the universe has only existed for 13.8 billion years. And in that time, light has traveled from where it originated to us. And so there are parts of the universe that are farther away than the light has had time to reach us yet.
That's so cool.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah.
So as the universe gets older, our observable universe gets larger because there's been more time for that light to make it all the way to the Earth.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I mean, I think so. But that's sort of an overview of, you know, the entire universe.
Amazing. Right, what a great way to end that. What did we cover? The entire universe.
The entire universe. Yeah, no problem. And now, Cheryl, it is time for your quiz.
Where we will cover everything in the universe.
Correct. You must know about everything in the entire universe to pass this
All
quiz.
Right.
Are you ready?
Well, this is our final quiz. So yeah, here we go. I'm ready to talk about everything in the universe.
Good. It's your final exam. Got it. Okay. First question. Give five examples of things that astronomers study.
Black holes.
One.
Suns.
Stars. Two.
Oh, yeah, fine. It's way funnier to think about looking out at nighttime and be like, look at all those suns.
Shaking my head at you right now.
Okay. Asteroids.
Three.
Planets.
Four.
And... I mean, so many things, but I'm trying to think of a fun example. Gamma rays, was that one you said? No.
I said gamma ray bursts.
Gamma ray bursts, that's right. Okay.
Yeah?
Gamma ray bursts.
Nice. Five. Good job. How do astronomers learn about things in space? Both the types of devices they use and maybe the methods. How do they do that?
They send out probes that are as small as a beach ball to as big as a football stadium and everywhere in between.
Or train.
Yes. And those have all sorts of cool technology on them, including the ability to talk to them and tell them what to do and then receive information from them, like videos or photos and samples, and I'm assuming measurements of all sorts of things as well. So that's one thing that they do.
That was a lot of things that they do.
That's true. Yes, that's a lot of things of what they do. They probably also look through telescopes.
They do. We didn't really talk about telescopes much.
We didn't talk about telescopes, no, but...
Yeah,
I'm sure that gives all sorts of information.
They do, yes. And when astronomers are looking through telescopes, they often aren't the way we think of telescopes. They actually don't often look through an eyepiece at this point. They're usually big and complicated, and they're all hooked up to computers, and they're measuring stuff. And they're not often even taking pictures, although sometimes they are, depending on what they're looking for. Oftentimes, they're taking measurements instead with the telescope.
Interesting.
Yeah, astronomers are often actually measuring things that are outside of the visible part of the spectrum anyway.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, it's a whole other thing. We're going to,
Wow.
We don't have time. All right, what is the farthest that we've sent a probe?
Outside of our solar system.
Yeah, outside our solar system. Out beyond Pluto and beyond. You kind of already answered this one because you jumped ahead, but how big are satellites and probes?
So many sizes. They could be the size of a whale. They could be the size of 1.5 limousines.
There it is.
It's my favorite ever. What a choice.
Yeah, you've got to now find places in your life where you can use that as a measurement.
You're like, 1.5 limousines, I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. And this one could be a little tricky. Cheryl, what is your cosmic address?
Oh my gosh. Earth. Mm-hmm. And then the name of our solar system. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was definitely on all the pictures you showed me, but I don't, what is
just
the name of
the solar system?
Oh, that's gross. Are we that?
I don't.
I mean, we are alive, so I guess we're kind of important, but
we think the solar
system. Yes. We don't have a name for our own solar system?
I don't think so. Not that I know of.
Oh, okay. Earth, the solar system. And then there's local groups. There's like various levels of local groups happening. Uh-huh. We're in like a little local group before we're in the Milky Way.
Okay.
And then we're in the Milky Way. And then we're in like another local group. Called another local group of galaxies.
Okay. So the first local group was a group of
solar systems.
Uh-huh. And then the second one is a group of
galaxies.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We're like a neighborhood of galaxies and then a local group of galaxies. And then from there, where it just keeps going out.
That's a great address. Just keep going out. It's like the way my dad gives directions. Well, just kind of go until you get to this place.
And then eventually we're in the visible universe, but there are levels of groupings. I forget the name for the groupings of galaxy. What's the name for the groupings? Yeah.
Well, it depends. There's several of them. So we have the Laniakea supercluster.
I can't remember that.
Yeah, Virgo supercluster. And then we've got clusters of superclusters with filaments and voids. And then we have the observable universe. But you did great for only having heard that once.
Thanks.
Well, Cheryl, this is the end of our unit, which means we also need to do a unit reflection.
Yes, we do.
First unit reflection question. What were some of the things that you found interesting in this unit? What is science?
Oh my gosh, so much. It was so interesting just thinking about how many aspects there are to like a field of study and how many like types of jobs scientists have. And like what they're actually doing a little bit. Just like, I mean, it was like, just like a preview still, but it was really interesting thinking about all these different things they're studying. I'm still trying to figure out why people are choosing, like the way this maybe people are choosing to pay them. Like,
because they need to put food on the table?
No. I mean, like, as far as it's so interesting that, like, all these, I feel like there's got to be scientists who have to, like, defend their work then a lot. This shows value, not because of, like, a product I'm making or, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, but this is another way that, like, I'm adding this value. But, like, it sounds like working in any research-based field probably has to just defend their work a ton. To be like, no, this research is important, really, you know, and so just really interesting to think about that too, I guess. Yeah,
definitely. What were some of the things that you found challenging in this unit?
I think like for me in the pre-assessments, trying to describe things that I thought I understood about these different things. And then I think just like wrapping my head around them, because I think all of these areas are more broad than I understand. And so it's like hard to really understand like the full picture, you know, with like, and that's kind of, I mean, we chose a unit that's like these like very big, like umbrellas. And so with that in mind, but yeah, it was, it, I don't know. That was definitely more of a challenge, I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Final reflection question. What concepts or ideas do you think you might remember or might stick with you from this unit?
A lot. And so I'm trying to think of how to narrow it down into a description. I think that it helps me on a bigger like scale to think about what type of science different things classify as. So that's definitely something that will stick with me. And then I think it just, I mean, with all of these lessons, but I think especially this unit, it gives me such a greater appreciation for science. But this one gave me more of appreciation for scientists, because I've said it before, but it's like, gosh, I do not want to be a scientist. and I'm so, so impressed by the level of like detail and consistency and just the level of hard work that it is to study things with like such specificity and consistency, you know, just like to really want to dig in a way and honor being like thorough in the work that you do and consistent and all that stuff is just like so impressive to me and not my strong suit at all. and so cool that there's so many people that have that passion and are learners in that way. And because just like of how it contributes to our society in all of these ways, that it was kind of fun to get little like glimpses into in this unit, I think.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that brings our last unit to a close, Cheryl.
Oh my gosh, Ryan, this has been great. I'm going to go. but before we're totally done, you and I have talked on this podcast so many times about our list of questions that
Our list is so long, Cheryl.
So long. And the problem with doing this podcast is that it keeps getting longer, which is, I'm guessing, the problem there is with being a scientist is that your list of questions keeps getting longer. So we are a reflection of that. So we are going to have just a final last hurrah. And I'm going to rapid fire some questions at you next week. And we are not going to do such a deep dive into one topic. We're going to do the opposite of that. And you're just going to give me your short little responses. So
we'll see how much I actually know.
Yeah, it's going to be very, I'm excited. This is going to be really fun. And so, and I keep thinking of more in my head and I'm like, this is not the time to make the list longer. This is the time to maybe like hone it in a little bit, but you know, it's going to be fun.
Yeah. You're the one who's asking the questions. So you get to ask whatever you want. So
I'm so excited. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, I hope everyone's able to join us next week for our final lesson, where Cheryl gets to ask whatever she wants. But that's all the time we have for this week's lesson. So why don't you pack up your stuff and get ready for my closing remarks.
You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at I Slept Through Science or on Twitter at Slept Science.
If you have dumb science questions like I do, please send them to us. You can email us at isleptthroughscience@gmail.com, or you can even send us a voice memo and we'll play it on the podcast.
Please rate and review our podcast to tell other people what you think about it. Subscribe to make sure you don't miss an episode, and share about our podcast on social media.
Thank you to Beth Reed Miller for the artwork. You can check out more of Beth's artwork at Beth Is Something. Okay, great. Thanks. Bye.
The bell doesn't dismiss you. I dismiss you.